story we read from the book of Matthew this morning is also told in the book of Mark, and I preached from this passage of Scripture, I think one from the story that's told in Mark. Not too long ago, I preached a sermon entitled, Just a Crumb, Just a Crumb. But this is a familiar story, and it has many, many lessons and applications that we can make from it. So I just want to tell the story real quick for a second, and then I have a Mother's Day application this morning. Although I will tell you, I'll be preaching to moms, I'll also be preaching to dads, because what I say about moms this morning is also true of dads. Also be speaking to grandpas and grandmas, because what I say about moms will be true of them as well. I'll also be speaking to aunts and uncles, because what I say about moms will be also true of aunts and uncles. And I've tried to throw enough truth into the main points of the message that there's something for everyone. And so I'd ask you all to listen, and even though it is a Mother's Day message, I think if you'll listen, the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and give you a truth that perhaps could change your life this morning. The Bible tells us that Jesus was in the coast of Tyre and Sidon, basically a Gentile region. Most of the people in this region were not Jews, they were Gentiles, and you know that the Jews did not think very highly of the Gentiles. In fact, they had nothing to do with them. In fact, they went out of their way to stay away from them. There was a Gentile woman, a woman from Canaan, that came and to Jesus and cried out and said, "Have mercy on me." And by the way, this is a truth that applies to everybody. You better hope that God has mercy on you. And I am glad, and I can tell you this morning, that God had mercy on all of us. Because if God did not have mercy for each one of us, we'd all be in hell this morning. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We're all sinners. And so if we got what we deserved, we'd all be in that place of eternal damnation, that place of eternal punishment. But God did not give us what we deserve. Praise Him. That's what mercy is, not getting what you deserve. And moms, you could show mercy when your little one messes up today by not spanking them. That's an example of mercy. And you can show mercy to your husband today when he messes up and not think ill of him. That's showing mercy, not getting what we deserve. And I'm glad that God showed mercy to all of us and gave us a chance to hear the gospel and get saved. And so this lady came to Jesus and said, Lord, I need your mercy. And she called him, Lord, thou son of David. And when she was doing that, she was confessing him as the Messiah. She was confessing him as the one that was promised from God to come. Now, hardly any of the Jews believed that he was the Messiah. But here was a Gentile lady that confessed as she prayed to him, I believe that you are the Messiah, the promised one from God. And she came with a request. She said, I have a daughter at home that is vexed with the devil. Now, we don't know from this story how that vexation played out. We read in other parts of the Bible that when people were possessed with the devil, that they were oftentimes thrown into the fire, thrown into water. They foamed at the mouth. They had seizures. All those were things that happened to people that we read in other places of the Bible that were possessed of the devil. And this mother came on behalf of her daughter and said, my little girl is possessed with the devil. I need your help. Nobody else can help me but you. And Jesus did a strange thing. At least it's strange when we first read about it. The Bible says that he ignored her. He answered her not a word. In fact, the disciples came and said, Master, this lady is embarrassing us. She's just going on and on and on. Why don't you just send her away? Why don't you just ask her to leave? And I'm sure that not Jesus, but maybe his disciples did. And she ignored them. She just kept at Jesus asking over and over and over again, would you help my daughter? And Jesus said, I am not sent to the Gentiles. I am sent to the Jews. And the Bible says that she worshiped him. Again, this is a truth for everybody. Whether God answers our prayers or not, he still deserves our worship. Whether God does what we want him to or not, he still deserves our worship. Whether we can explain everything that God lets come into our life. And I know many are here this morning with hardships and heartbreaks and things that are going on in your life that you just wonder, why does God let this happen? And I'll tell you this morning, regardless of what's going on in your life, there is a God in heaven that deserves our worship. He is God. And Jesus said, it's not meant to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And what he was talking about, he says, I'm sent to the Jews. I have a message for the Jews. I have a ministry to the Jews. The Jews thought the Gentiles were dogs. He said, I have bread for God's chosen people. It's not right to take that bread and give it to a Gentile, to a dog. And the woman said, yes, master, you're right. People don't usually take their bread and give it to their dog, but the dogs get to sit underneath the table and eat the crumbs that fall on the floor. And Jesus said to that lady, woman, great is thy faith. And by the way, it's funny, the only people in the Bible that Jesus said that about, great is thy faith, were not Jews, they were Gentiles. It was this woman and another man who showed great faith. And Jesus said, woman, great is thy faith. I'm going to give you whatever you want. Go on home. If that's what you want, go on home. Your daughter is made whole. Now, I want you to notice four things this morning about this mother. Number one, here was a mother that had a dream or a desire for her child. Her dream was for her child to be healed. Her desire was that the devil that was tormenting her daughter would be cast out. And by the way, it was tormenting her too. Because no child suffers without a mom suffering. I mean, it was true back then, it's true today. Not one of your children suffer without, and children, you ought to know this, when you suffer, your mom, and I don't care how old you are, you can be this small or you can be this tall. You can be a few years old and a lot of years old. And if you hurt, your mom hurts. And this woman, this mother hurt as her daughter was hurt. And she had a dream. She had a desire. I want my daughter to be healed. I want these terrible things that are happening to her to stop. I want the devil that's inside of her to be gone. I want her to be just like other children. And the Bible teaches us that it's a good thing for moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and aunts and uncles to have dreams and desires for their children. We had a study in Sunday school this morning about a mother, Hannah, that had a dream for the son that she begged for from God. And her dream was that if she got a son from God, she was going to give him back to God and he was going to serve God all of his life. And she had a little boy named Samuel, and she gave Samuel back to God, and Samuel served God all his life. There was a mother and a grandmother in the book of Timothy that we read about, Lois and Eunice. They had a grandson named Timothy, and they had a desire that Timothy would be used of God. And so the Bible says that they took the faith that they had and they lived it before Timothy. And Timothy got that same faith and became a helper to Paul on his missionary journeys. John Mark's mother had a dream. I mean, why do you think she let the church meet in her house? Why do you think back in those days when they didn't have church buildings like this and the church met in people's house that John Mark's mother opened up her house and said, hey, in spite of what the Jewish leaders think, the church can meet in my house? Because she had a dream for her son. She wanted him to serve God. And so she opened up her home and kept John Mark around the disciples so that he could be around godly men. You ought to have dreams for your kids. Moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas, aunts, uncles, you ought to have dreams. Those dreams ought to include your children and your grandchildren getting saved. Those dreams ought to include that they do right. They read the Bible and try to live by what the Bible says. Those dreams ought to include living their life in a way that's pleasing to God. Those dreams ought to include them marrying who God has prepared for them. Them dreams ought to include, as you have children and they have children, And the dreams for your grandchildren ought to be that their mom and dad, your children, raise them in the way that they ought to be raised. And I could go on. I could list hundreds of dreams that parents have for their children and grandparents have for their children. And the Bible says that it's right for us to have those dreams and have those desires. So here was a mom. I have a desire. I have a dream for my daughter. I want her to be well. Number two, I want you to notice, she went to Jesus on behalf of her child. Maybe she had tried to go other places. Perhaps she tried doctors. Perhaps she tried faith healers, other teachers, other preachers, but nobody could help. One day she heard about Jesus. He was a man that took a couple fish and five small loaves and fed 5,000 men. He was a man that made lame people walk. He was also a man that cast out demons. She heard about the maniac of Gadara, that one that lived in the tombs, naked, cut himself with stones, had been bound with chains, but burst those chains apart. And Jesus went and with a word cast out the demon that possessed him. She heard about the young boy, the little boy that was possessed by a devil, and his dad brought him to Jesus. And Jesus was up on top of a mountain, and nine of his disciples were there, and the dad brought that little boy to the nine disciples, and they couldn't help. But when Jesus came down from the mountain with the other three disciples, he said a word, and that devil was cast out. And this mom said, he cast out devils from others. He can cast out devils from my little girl. And so leaving her daughter in the care of another, she came to Jesus and said, I need your help. Now let me say to all the moms here, let me say to all the dads, let me say to all the grandpas and grandmas, I'll preach to myself as I'm preaching to you. I'm glad that God doesn't leave us to raise our children by ourselves. When I became a dad, I did not know what a dad was. When I became a grandpa, I did not know what a grandpa was. I'd seen other people. But when I became one, I did not know what they were. And I'll be honest with you, I did not know how to do it. And I'm glad that God doesn't leave us by ourselves. I'm glad God says to us, I will help you be the kind of parent that you need to be. I will help you be the kind of grandparent that you need to be. He's given us an instruction book that tells us what we need to be as parents. He's given us a teacher called the Holy Spirit that will help us as we be parents and grandparents. And it's just another way where God says to us, you need to depend on me. When we realize that we cannot do it ourselves at all the ideas that we have. And again, I told you before, my dad, he read Dr. Spock. He didn't use anything in the book, but he often used the book to paddle our tails. That was the good he got out of Dr. Spock. I never read Dr. Spock, but I've spent a lot of time reading this book. And this book tells us what we need to be as parents. And we need to come to the point in our life when we go to God, just like we should in every other area of our life, and say, I cannot do it by myself. I do not have the wisdom. I do not have the might. I do not have the patience. I do not have what's needed to be the right kind of dad, the right kind of mom, the right kind of grandpa, the right kind of grandma. God, I need your help. And depend on him. Depend on him. So here was a mom that went to Jesus on behalf of her child. Number three, she prayed. She prayed. She asked God for something very specific. She said to Jesus, I want my daughter to be healed. I want the devil cast out. This morning, let me ask all the moms. Let me ask all the dads. Let me ask all the grandparents. What are you asking God for on behalf of your son or your daughter? Say, well, my kids are old. It doesn't matter. Say, no, my kids are really old. It doesn't matter. They're still your son. They're still your daughter. What are you asking for? What are you asking God for on their behalf? I know some of you are praying that they get saved. I know that because you've shared those requests with me. Some of your children are about to make decisions, and you're praying for them to make the right choice. Some of your children are starting to date, and you're praying that God will lead them to the right mate. Some of your children are raising children, and you're praying for them to be the right kind of parent to your grandchildren. It's a wonderful picture of prayer that this lady paints for us. A lesson that Jesus taught over and over in the Bible, how we need to be persistent in our prayers. She came and said, "Jesus, I want you to heal my daughter." Jesus ignored her. The disciples said, "Send her away. She's embarrassing us." Jesus said, I can't give you what you asked for. I can't take what's meant for somebody else and give it to you." And yet, in spite of all that, she worshiped him. She worshiped him. The Bible says that she directed her love toward him and praised him. And what she was saying when she did that, she says, "Jesus, whatever you decide to do, I want you to know, in my book, you are still God. In my book, you still deserve my love. If you decide to send me away and not help me and not help my daughter, I want you to know I'm going to love you anyway." And too often we put God on trial and we say, "God, you're only going to be God if you help me. You're only going to be God if you do this. You're only going to be God if you do it my way." And so many times God has a better way. And we'd just be better off to say, "God, not my will, but thy will be done." She worshiped him. And he said, "I still can't help you." And she said, "Okay, just give me a crumb. Just a crumb. Just a little bit." And then number four, I want you to notice that this mother's daughter was made whole by the faith of her mom. Jesus said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." What she was saying is, whatever you want, you got it. Whatever you desire, that's what I'm going to give it to you. And the Bible says that her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The devil was cast out from that very hour. The moment that Jesus said it, the devil was gone. I want you to notice, it wasn't by the daughter's faith that made her whole. I mean, the daughter wasn't even there. Maybe she didn't even know what her mom was doing. Maybe she had no idea what was going on. It wasn't the daughter's faith that resulted in her healing. It was the mother's faith. This little girl was made whole. This little girl's life was changed. Her life was saved because her mother had great faith. Now you listen to me this morning. You can't get saved for your children. I know some of you say, "I wish we could." You can't get saved for your children, but your faith can lead them to Jesus. You can't make your children's decisions for them, but your faith, as they see that faith, can help them make the right ones. You can't decide how your children are going to spend their life, but your faith can lead them to a life that's pleasing to God. You can't pick out your children's mates. I know sometimes we try and sometimes we get in trouble, but you cannot pick out your children's mates, but your faith can help them pick out the one that God has prepared for them. You cannot raise your children's children for them, but your faith can help them be the right kind of parents. In 2 Timothy, Paul talks about Timothy's faith and where he got it. And he says, talking about Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." I cannot give my children my faith. You cannot give your children your faith, but you can live your faith in such a way in front of them that what you got, they will catch. They will get. So let me ask you some questions this morning as I close. What dreams do you have for your children and your grandchildren? What dreams do you have for them? The Bible says we should have dreams for them. We should have desires. Are you going to Jesus on their behalf? Do you spend time in prayer on behalf of your children? How much? A few minutes every other week? A few minutes every week? Or are you laboring daily? Daily. Often during the day, do you take your children to prayer? How much faith do they see? How do they see you trusting God? A little or a lot? Jesus told a dad one time, in fact, the dad that brought his son that was possessed by a devil to him when Jesus was up on the mountain. He said, I can help you if you only believe. And the father cried out. He said, Master, help me and help my unbelief. He said, I need you to help me believe more. And maybe there's some moms and dads in this auditorium this morning. That's your prayer. I know I need to live my faith in front of my children. I need to have more. God, would you give me more? I remind you this morning, God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. He will honor the prayers of moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas that come to him on behalf of their children. He will honor those prayers. And oftentimes, children suffer and do without the things that God wants them to have because mom and dad aren't what they should be. You know what? I think Mother's Day would be a good day to change that. If you're here and you're a mom, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's the first thing you need to change. You need to come and get saved this morning. Hey, Dad, even though it's a Mother's Day, if you're a dad here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to come and get saved. You cannot be the kind of parent, forgive me for saying this, but you cannot be the kind of parent that God wants you to be without knowing Jesus as your Savior. You need him. You need him. And you need to have a faith in him that your children can see. Your children can see. And so maybe you need to come today and get saved. Maybe you need to come today and pray that same prayer that that father prayed. Lord, help my unbelief. I want to believe more. I want to have more faith. I want to be the kind of mom. I want to be the kind of dad that my children need. And I know I can't do that on my own. I know I need you. I think today would be a good day. Come and spend some time at the altar. Say, God, that's what I want. I want it for my children. I want it for my grandchildren. I want your help to be the mom and the dad that I need to be. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the story of this mom. What an example she is to all of us, about a mom that had dreams for her children, that went to Jesus and prayed and had a great faith. And I pray that every mom and every dad would have that same kind of desire in their life, that they'd want to be the dad and the mom that you intended for them to be and that their children need. I pray you'll help us. All of us could be better. All of us. There's not one mom or one dad that can stand and say, well, I'm a perfect dad, I'm a perfect mom. We all could be better. And we can only be better as we come to you. And so I pray, Father. I pray, first of all, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, today would be the day that they see that they're a sinner, and the penalty for that sin is separation from you. But that when Christ went to the cross, he paid the price. And if we'd simply come and ask him, he'd save us. Mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, whoever, Father, here today, if they have never asked Jesus to be their Savior, help them to do it right now. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians out here. Make us into what you want us to be. Help us to be what you want us to be. Show us what you want us to be and help us to be obedient to it. I pray you bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.